both his Georgian language speaking and have taught the scriptures. We're very, very happy to again greet you in the name of the Lord Jesus. In the first chapter of the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul prays that the Christian might know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. The minds of many turn this morning to the empty tomb and to the risen Savior. What does the resurrection of Jesus Christ mean to you, dear listener? Is it merely an occasion for this day of final address, or one day in the year when you attend a religious service? Many people who in the conventional manner observe so-called Easter apprehend but little of the mighty fact of a risen Christ. Let me call your attention to a few of the results of this transcendent event. First, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is God's final move to demonstrate the deity of his beloved Son. He was declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. The resurrection is the last argument of the four New Testament evangelists. John, in stating the purpose of his gospel, says, "And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that believing ye might have life through his name." And the last of the signs which John recalled is the resurrection of his blessed Lord, the crowning priest of his deity. Had Jesus Christ not risen from the dead, his claims to deity would have been disproved. His words would have been broken, and no other prediction that he had made could be credited. Had he not risen from the dead, as he had repeatedly said he would do, we could come to no other conclusion than that he was either a deluded man, regarding fancy as a fact, or a designing man, attempting to deceive us with a fraud. In either of these cases, he would be utterly unworthy of our confidence, and an unfit object for our admiration, much less our adoration. If Christ is not risen, he is not the Son of God as he claimed to be. Then his words are fables, his ministry a fraud, and his death a failure. Then there is no gospel, no good news of saving grace for guilty sinners. Then no star of hope to shine in the dark and dreamless firmament of human destiny. No heavenly haven at the end of life's voyage, no celestial city with open gates to welcome the justified. No mountains in the Father's height, and no anthems of Zion sung by the host of the redeemed. Then there is nothing ahead for the sons of men but the blackness of darkness forever and forever. The resurrection of Christ is well called the keystone of the New Testament. Even as the passage of the Red Sea is the keystone of the Old Testament. As another has well said, quote, "Every victory won by Israel in the land of Canaan, every song issued from God's ancient people, every priestly service witness that the Red Sea delivers as a fact." Yet so, the Christian's life, service, warfare, and worship prove that of which the Red Sea passage is a type, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, end of quote. The empty garden tomb is a constant display of infidelity and the irrefutable proof of the Godhead of the Lamb of Calvary, the Lamb of Calvary. Second, the resurrection of Jesus Christ marks the glorious victory in the greatest battle of all time. The dark mysteries of sin and death are solved by the firstborn from the dead. Sin had polluted all of Adam's race. Death had conquered all but two of those who lived in former years. Enoch and Elijah were the only ones to leave this world without having to bow the knees of death for one so suffered. For four millennia, it would seem that the title of Jehovah, that Satan, the great antagonist of God, had swept the field and had gained control of the destinies of men. Then one entered the list. A babe was born to a virgin in Bethlehem, a babe in the angel gave the heavenly man, will be the Son of God. Others will proclaim him as the Savior, Christ the Lord, the one who brings glory to God from the highest and peace and good will to men on earth. And then Satan, who leads the head of the king, sought by treachery and inhuman cruelty to destroy that day. But the circumvented by the divine direct of Christ as Mary and Joseph into Egypt. In the wilderness, the devil, evidently unwilling to test the bound to one of lesser power, taking the path, the second man, even who had 4,000 years before, attacked the first Adam. After 40 days of constant temptation, when anyone less than the Son of Man would have been weakened by a prison, the climactic epoch, the thickest cloud was made in three mighty waves of assault. Again, the devil is defeated, and by the same weapon which is available to us, the Word of God. On certain occasions, Satan renewed the conflict with sudden attacks, seeking to slay both Christ and his angels. At Nazareth, using the religious leaders who had before he sought to hurl Christ over the cliff on which the village rested. But with the same sinister being, from behind the storm that seemingly would founder the boat on Galilee. Several times he incited the people to pick up stones to throw at the Holy One, but a greater power restrained their wicked arms. The slander of the scribes and the costumists of the lawyers were employed to do that which violence could not accomplish. The Lord Jesus had won every engagement in this long campaign. The wilderness, the pinnacle of the temple, the mountaintop, Galilee, the crags and caves once the haunt of the demon-possessed man, had all become the field, a victory that was stronger than the strongest. Funeral processions had been halted and converted into festivals of joy. Even the cemetery of Bethany had been invaded and Lazarus recaptured from the tomb. But the supreme engagement had yet to be fought. If Satan's criminal death, the wages of sin, and the penalty of iniquity is to be captured, if things are to be delivered out of the kingdom of darkness, the Lord of life must himself enter death, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and rest in his unholy hands the keys of death and Hades. The eternal purpose of God for the redemption of sinners could only thus be realized. All things earthly life, the Lord Jesus brought in the ever-deepening sorrows of the cross, for he would lay down his life and enter the certain height of death. He was born to die. The overthrow of Satan and the salvation of sinners, as for the glory of God, was the purpose of his death and the achievement of his resurrection. He felt the awful pressure of the impending conflict. He prayed in the hall of the Gethsemane, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." It is not merely physical death on which he fights. Many matters have faced death with triumphant mood. Was he less courageous than they? Perish the thought. He was to become identified with sin, but he was sin offering. As upon the cross, he was to bear the sin of many. Our souls have been too much enamored with sin to appreciate fully how his holiness revolted against coming into contact with that which his soul hated. Everything hung on the issues of the matter. Of what value for a brother is a series of victories whose news of the last and future conflict of the campaign? Had Christ been held in death God's power, had he not risen from the tomb, every victory would have been a result. Then every star of hope he made the sign in the dark firmament of Mary Magdalene, the 12, the lepers, the blind, the women of Luke 7, and she of John 8, the repentant priest, and a host of others would have suffered a total and eternal eclipse. When Christ cried, "It is finished," and bowed his head and dismissed his spirit, when the goal of the Roman Empire, the mightiest power in the field of the Roman Empire, the mightiest power of antiquity, was placed upon the tomb, it looked as though Satan at last had won. Even the disciples conceded defeat. But in the eye of Jesus, darkness and appearance soon came to defeat. He who had been taken by wicked hands and crucified and slain, God raised up and loosed the bonds of death, because it was not possible that he could be holden of them. His soul was not left in Hades, Satan's domain, neither did he strike through corruption. He arose. The children of God were given a new standard of divine power, not the power which had brought Israel out of Egypt and through the Red Sea, greater than that. But they saw that is the exceeding greatness of God's power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. What a victory of victory! With joy may be seen. Praise be the victor's name, who fought the fight alone. Conference things no longer claim, the conquest was his own. Through weakness and defeat, he won the need and crown. For all our foes, the evil speak, in being trodden down. Through Satan's power laid low, made sin, through rain or pain, bowed to the grave, destroyed his soul, and death by dying slain. Yes, the conqueror slain, slain in his victory, who lived, who died, who lives again in glorious majesty. It is Georgia Lambert speaking. Please remain tuned for announcements that follow.